Siegfried Sassoon, an English combat infantry officer and poet in World War I, experienced the same feeling when he returned home. He summed it up in the following verse. "You smug-faced crowds with kindling eye, who cheer when soldier lads march by, sneak home and pray you'll never know the hell where youth and laughter go." The poet might just as well have been referring to Peleliu or to the mud fields in front of Shuri as to France in World War I. Some of the younger replacements who came to us then had trouble adjusting, and not just to the shelling. That was enough to shake up the strongest veteran, but they were utterly dismayed by our horrible surroundings. Numerous Marine replacements for combat units on Okinawa never had their names added to their units' muster rolls because they got hit before notice of their transfer from their replacement draft to the combat unit ever reached headquarters U.S. Marine Corps. So they were listed on the casualty rolls as members of various replacement drafts. It was also common throughout the campaign for replacements to get hit before we even knew their names. They came up confused, frightened, and hopeful, got wounded or killed, and went right back to the rear on the route by which they had come, shocked, bleeding, or stiff. They were forlorn figures coming up to the meat grinder and going right back out of it, like homeless waifs, unknown and faceless to us, like unread books on a shelf. They never belonged to the company or made any friends before they got hit. Of course, those replacements who got hit right away with the million-dollar wound were actually fortunate. K-3-5 landed at full strength of 235 officers and men on 1 April 1945. The company joined 250 replacements during the campaign for a total of 485 serving. Of the 50 men left at the end of the campaign, only 26 had made the landing. Our food usually consisted of a cold can of sea rations and, rarely, a canteen cup of hot coffee. When we could brew it up, it was a treat. It was difficult to warm anything with our little heat tablets because of the almost constant rain. Sometimes I had to hunch over and shield a can of sea ration stew from the rain because the can would fill up with rainwater as fast as I spooned the cold stew into my mouth. We ate only because hunger forced us to do so. No other stimulus could have forced me to eat when my nostrils were so saturated with the odor of decay that I frequently felt sick. I ate little during that period, but drank hot coffee or bouillon at every opportunity. The constant rain caused our weapons to rust. Most of us lined the holsters for our 45 automatic pistols with the green plastic covers we were issued. These came in long sleeve-like pieces and could be placed over carbines, rifles, and Tommy guns. We kept a plastic hood draped over our mortar when it wasn't in use. This plastic cover was issued to be placed over ourselves while crouching down to avoid being sprayed with mustard gas, should that weapon have been used by the Japanese. We kept our weapons heavily oiled and actually had little trouble with them, considering the battlefield conditions. Field sanitation was non-existent because of the shelling and the mud. Each man simply used a grenade canister or ammo carton and threw his own waste out into the already foul mud around his foxhole.